Well, good morning and welcome to our service. And those of you who have joined us online, good to have you along with us today here in the sanctuary of Holly Shores Baptist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We're again taking our Bibles and opening to 1 Peter chapter 2. And just a wonderful passage here. I was telling our congregation just a little bit ago, I feel like a boy that fell into the chocolate vat at Hershey's as I was studying this. There's so much good stuff here. Amazing what God has placed into these verses. So we've been working on just one verse here for almost 4 weeks now. I promise next Sunday we'll go elsewhere. We'll be done with this, Lord willing. But we've seen that we're chosen, so that's our unique calling. We have a unique occupation. We are priests, and not only that, we're a royal priesthood. We're in training to be rulers in the day to come. We have a unique relationship with the world. We are a holy nation, and now today we want to focus on this relationship we have with God, belonging to God. You know, belonging is a powerful concept. People will do almost anything to belong to a group that they really admire. Why, they might even wear purple hair. And just to see what it looks, see it looks good on the older set too. What, you don't like that purple hair? But people do that. Somebody else gets purple hair, they'll get purple hair. Somebody else gets a body piercing or a tattoo, and they'll go do that. Sometimes they pile up huge debts just to keep up with the Joneses, the people that live next door down the street, a friend, and because they want to belong. I've noticed through the years that beards, mustaches, and things like that kind of go through cycles, and they change, and the appearance of them changes. And a lot of that is a fad thing. Sometimes people drink alcohol because they want to belong. And I was talking to one fella one time, and he did a lot of that. And he said, when I'm with this group, I just feel so good. Well, okay. It was causing problems for things and people and family around him. Sometimes people will commit murder because they want to belong to a certain group, a certain crime family, perhaps. And the individuals in those groups often look alike, sound alike, talk alike, think alike, and so on. Now, a lot of times we say of our teenagers, you know, you wish to belong, and that belonging is so strong. But, you know, we're, as adults, much like that too. And we want to belong in a group. Now, not belonging can be a terrible negative in our lives. I was reading some time ago about the people that came out of World War II that had been, they were Holocaust survivors, and they had been put in German concentration camps. And there was a song that was done right after World War II that was called, Where Shall I Go? Where Do I Belong? And these folks didn't know. They didn't have the answers to that at all. You know, the families were gone. They might have been the only ones in their family that survived. So what do they do now? Where do they go now? Where do they connect now? They had lost their communities, their organizations, their social networks, their friends, their lovers, and even their families. And everything had been destroyed. All of it was now gone. Where can I belong? Where do I fit in? That was the question they were asking. And so they were trying to form new families and new friendships and new connections. And yet it seemed like, and many of them struggled in that whole generation and even into the next generation, where do I go? Where do I belong? And one of them writing said, our parents, their survivors, arrived virtually from a black hole. No life before. The life before was totally destroyed. It seems sometimes felt like a time warp, not here in the present, with only a fleeting glimpse of the past. They wondered, what time do we live in? No past, no present. What is the future? Our people, our culture, our world, our worldview are gone, all gone. So where do we belong? You have to wonder if the refugees coming out of the Ukraine right now are going to feel that same way. There's a sense of great loss among them as well. So sometimes we just don't know where we fit in. Maybe you feel that way after you've been fired from a job. Or you drop out of school. Now, where do I go and where do I fit in? And what's next on for my life and on my calendar? What is norm? And there's a real loss of identity when you no longer belong to the group. And that can be a real problem. But you know, in light of all of that, God tells us something wonderful. He says, you can belong to me. You can belong to me. And that's what's going on here in 1 Peter 2:9. We are a people belonging to God. He gives us the opportunity to belong to the greatest group that has ever been formed, His people, the Christian church. And then He puts us in subdivisions of that down here in our own Holiday Shores Baptist family. And so He wants us to belong, to be a part of, and that's what we're to help one another to do. So because of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christians are unique people. We have a unique relationship with God. We belong to Him. Now, the words that are used here in the King James, it says that we are a peculiar people. Now, that word peculiar today does not mean what it used to mean. You don't have to be strange, odd, or unusual, or even weird to fit this verse, to understand what this verse is saying, or to be a part of what it says. See, back when the King James was translated, that word actually meant an obtaining, an acquisition. And it just simply meant what our modern language translations put out, that we belong to God. We belong to Him. And that's a very special belonging. You know, as you read the New Testament, there's just absolutely some amazing word pictures. Because Jesus wants us to understand this belonging. You fit together, and you belong to me. And so He gives us so many different pictures. Let me just walk my way through some of them. I'm a slide behind. There we go. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, the scripture says, with your blood you purchased men for God. And so what we have now is Jesus in the marketplace. You know how it is when you go shopping? Boy, Anita and I were at Sam's the other day. It's amazing what that bill turned out to be. You know, you remember the days when you could fill a shopping cart with $100? You can't do that anymore. And ours was about half full, and it was a lot more than that. It's amazing. But here's Jesus in the marketplace. And He's shopping, and He says, I want this. And He puts it in the shopping cart, and this, and this, and this. And it's like He's going through, and He's collecting for Himself. And you and I are people that have been picked and chosen by Him. It's a wonderful thing. And then the currency is His blood. He bought us with His blood. He paid a tremendous sacrifice for us. And so, not necessarily sheep in the sheep market, although that'd be a great starting point for the Jewish mind, but that's us belonging. He puts us together. We belong to His family. And then Ephesians talks about we are His inheritance, His glorious inheritance in the saints. And so we're like an inheritance. Jesus died, and what did God give Jesus for that? He gave us a very special belonging, purchased by His blood. And here's another picture of gathering. In Matthew 13, verse 30, He's talking about gathering the wheat and bringing it into His barn. a picture of belonging. This wheat field is mine, and I'm gathering it up, and I'm going to bring it in and put it, and notice it says, into my barn. Not selling this to the neighbor's barn, not somebody in town. This is going in my barn. This is my wheat, and it's going in my barn. You are that wheat. You belong to him. And then it gets really personal. He says in John 15, 16, I chose you. I chose you. Boy, that's a special feeling, isn't it? Remember when you were lining up as kids and you wanted to, that you're trying to make teams, and so here's the best players, and they always got picked as the leaders for softball, baseball, whatever you're playing. And so they'd go, I want you. Oh, wasn't that a good feeling if they pointed at you first? I want you, I want you. And they're selecting the team. And Jesus is saying there, that's what I'm doing. You belong to me. I'm bringing you from where you are out there to me, he says. And then Romans 8:28, we're called according to his purpose. God says, I want you to know there's a reason I brought you to myself. It's a reason I picked you off the marketplace shelf and put you in my cart, or gathered you as a wheat, a bundle of wheat out there in the field, because there's a reason. And I've made you for a reason and a purpose. And so he wants us to know that. I like this one too. John 17, verse 6. He talks about the people. He's talking to the Father. Father, thank you for those you have given me. You know, you're a gift from the Father to Jesus. Isn't that special? It just belonging. A gift from the Father to the Son. And so Peter sums this all up by just saying we are a people belonging to God. God says, I want you to know you belong to me. And that becomes a very special relationship. That's really important, just as a sideline here, that we belong to the right person or the right master. Because in the scriptures, it talks about two different masters. One is the Lord Jesus and the righteousness he offers. The other is the devil and the sin that he offers and allows. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one you obey, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So we're choosing our master as we go through. And I don't know about you, I want to belong to the Lord Jesus. I know the end of those folks is a good end. And I want to belong to him. And I know you do too. So we're choosing. And, you know, God gives us a choice in that, but then it has an automatic consequence. You can choose to follow sin and the devil if you want to. You can choose to follow Jesus if you want to. Both of them go and end up at a different place. And as somebody says, it's like getting in a rut. You know, in the old days with the old cars and the old dirt road, you had to be careful which rut you got into because you might not get out of it for 15 miles. So you got to be careful which rut you get into. You can choose your rut, but you can't choose where it leads. And so we ought to choose the Lord Jesus. Choose your master wisely. Now, the scripture is also really interesting because there's a lot of things it says about characteristics of those who belong to Jesus. Let's just look at some of those. John 8, 47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. And, of course, Jesus is talking here. He says the reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God. That's right out of Jesus' mouth. He says, you're not paying attention to what I'm saying. It's because you don't belong to me. What's he mean by all that? Well, as he teaches, as he gives us his word, and it's all right here, or a portion of it, if we're paying attention to that, we're listening to it, then it shows that we belong to him. And by the way, I was thinking earlier about the word hears there. He who belongs to God hears what God says. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening, isn't there? There were times our kids heard what we said. Hey, kids, it's time to go to bed. You know, it's amazing how long they could ignore that when they wanted to. Now, they heard it. I mean, the ears were working, the little vibrations were going into their heads, but it was not being paid attention to. It was not being followed. And so I think the emphasis here is doing what it says. Those who belong to God listen to what God says. They follow through on it. And when they're really listening, then they stop playing and they get their toys cleaned up and they get ready for bed, just like they heard, but now they're listening too. And God wants us to do that. He who belongs to God hears what God says. So we have to be listening to Him. It's a sign that we're getting our Bibles out and studying, and God is talking to us and we're following. And that, another one, Romans 8, 9, verses 9 and 10. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So when we belong to Christ, we have His Spirit. God's Spirit lives in us, and He walks with us and talks with us and empowers us. And it makes a difference in our lives. And so when we belong to God, we have His Spirit. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I have His Spirit because I belong to Him. He freely gives me a part of Himself to live inside of me. And then I somehow got the same verse twice. So we'll just take it here, Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So when I belong to Jesus, I'm doing something about the sin that wants to come out of my life. The Scripture uses this really strong term, crucified it. I have taken that squirming mass of rebellion against God and things that are wrong and wicked, and I've put it up there on a cross, on a piece of wood, and I've nailed it there. And I've killed it. We do that as we follow Him. That's a natural sign. How do I know if I belong to Jesus? I'm dealing with sin. 1 John chapter 3, and you ought to read that chapter because it really deals with this. It says there in 1 John, if we claim to be without sin, we're a liar. So nobody ever better come up and say, I'm done with sin, I no longer sin. No, no, no. That's not true. But John's message in chapter 3 is we ought to be sinning less and less. We're not sinless, but as God's life takes over our hearts and minds, then we become more like Him, the sinless one. And then in 1 John 3:18 and 19, let us not love with word or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is then how we know that we belong to the truth or belong to the Lord Jesus. And we don't just talk and say things, and we become a really good culture at doing that. You know, talk, talk, talk. But we do it. It's action. It's truth. And so there's some powerful things that really add up when we're belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's just talk about some implications. What does it mean that I belong to Jesus? Well, let's do some comparison here. When something belongs to me, it first of all means it's mine. I bought it. It's mine. I either got it at a store or a yard sale or somewhere, but I reached out and through some sort of transaction, whatever it was became mine. And so, you know, of course, when I say something like that, she and I, everything in joint. And I think that's a way, it's a good way of doing it. So if it's mine, it's also hers. If it's hers, it's also mine. And there's a lot of things of hers I'm not interested in, and probably a lot of things of mine she's not interested in, but there are things we share that we both own. For example, my car is titled to both of us. I own that. It belongs to me and to her. My alarm clock is mine. There are some mornings you could have it, because I really don't want it anymore some mornings. And then I look around. There's my computer. It's mine. And the lawnmower, it's mine. And chairs and the microwave. And why is it? It's because I bought them. I brought them into my possession. I paid for them. And so they become mine. And so in some way, through that ownership, I have a unique relationship with them. They belong to me. It's mine. Now, I belong to Jesus, too, by right of purchase. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you have been bought at a price. And so I look at the Lord Jesus, and he says to me, Lemon, I own you. You're my possession. I paid for you. It cost me a lot to pay for you, to purchase you. Acts 20, verse 28 says, you've been bought with the blood of Christ. Acts 14, verse 8, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And so he's purchased me. Now, my possessions, I'm quite certain, don't feel a unique relationship with me. My car doesn't go, oh, I love that guy so much. When he changes my oil, you know, there's no relationship there at all. Now, I think that I do have that kind of relationship with the dog, because I think there are times Fritzy just sitting there looking up at me like, you and I have such a great relationship. And that usually happens when I'm down here petting him, and he loves that. He always has, ever since he's a little puppy. And so there's a relationship there. But I can have a special and wonderful and amazing relationship with the Lord Jesus, the one I belong to. And that's what he holds out to me in the scripture. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And that becomes the basis of our relationship. So I bought it, it's mine. Jesus bought me, I'm his. Have I settled the ownership question in my relationship with the Lord Jesus? Now, the second implication that I draw from this is that whatever the possession is, if it's mine, I have full rights to its service. I get to use it. Nobody can take it away from me without becoming a thief, because it's mine, right? And nobody can use it without my permission. You know, you come over and there's my lawnmower and you say, well, I'd like to have that. No, because of its relationship with me, because I purchased it, you got to negotiate with me some sort of terms for using it. My rights. I have full rights to its services. Well, because I belong to Jesus, he has full rights to my service too. And the scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Or in 1 Corinthians 7:23, don't become slaves of other men. It'd be a really strange thing if you bought something, it was expensive, it cost you a lot, but the neighbor down the street's using it. You might have things around your house that the neighbor is using, I don't know, but that's a strange situation. The question here is, am I allowing my master full rights to my services? Because I belong to him, does he have the right to ask me to do whatever? Am I doing it with a good attitude? And then the third implication strikes me is, I can use whatever is mine to accomplish whatever I want. Guys, that means if I want to take a screwdriver out of my work toolbox and I want to use it as a chisel, I can do that. Now, y'all have done that. That's just something we do, right? And sometimes we mess things up because we don't use them right. But if it belongs to me, hey, it's just fine. I can use it that way. With my car, I can either haul people in there or I can haul garbage in there. I can use it however I choose. Because it belongs to me, I get the freedom of choice over that. Right? Shake your heads. Yep. It'd be interesting to stop right now and say, okay, how have you misused some of the stuff that belongs to you? Because we all have in some way or other. And we usually pay a pretty good price on that because we mess things up. But you know, when I think about belonging to Jesus, there's a similar thought that goes down through my mind. For Jesus, he says in Ephesians 2:10, I was created for good works. Created for good works. That's how he wants to use me. Those good works don't save me, but they demonstrate that I love people and that people then can see that Christianity is different. Pastors are supposed to prepare people for works of service. It's interesting, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, I sort of have a say in that because he talks about different bowls. He says in some houses you have bowls of gold and silver, and those are the ones you pull out for company, you know, the really nice ones. I don't know if we have too many of those around anymore or not, but boy, we've got some really nice stuff, and it gets used for company. And then there are other bowls, he says in 2 Timothy there, that are made out of wood, and I think those are probably the cheap ones, the ones maybe you feed the dog out of. Maybe they're the ones that take the garbage out. And Paul's message to Timothy is we're kind of choosing, you know, which we want to be. Do we want to be a gold bowl that God can use the most, or a wooden bowl that maybe he'll just slop the pigs or feed the dog in? He has the right. Because I belong to him, he can use me to accomplish what he wants. And that's really a special thing, and sometimes it's hard to deal with. It seems like some folks who belong to him, he picks and he allows them to do something really spectacular. And they get a great reputation, or they're in charge of something big, and they make maybe a lot of money off of it, and it's like, wow. And others, he just sort of keeps in a quiet little place. And they work in the shadows. And they do something that really needs to be done by the Lord Jesus, and it's a good place to serve, but it just is not as big. So, you know, the master, he gets to pick and choose what we do. And he is, you know, he made Moses famous and David. And David won a lot of battles. But there were other people who served him who ended up not so well off. And you had prophets who were killed. And I think it was Isaiah who was cut in two. And so God picks and chooses the job he wants for us. He can accomplish what he wants with us because we belong to him. But it's always the right thing, too. He's a great master. Oh, another implication of all this. I can use it when I want to. You know, I can use whatever I have, whatever that possession is, at morning, noon, or night, evening. If I need to go out somewhere late at night, my car can't groan and say, oh, no, not now. I'm settled down for the night. I really don't want to go anywhere. No. If it belongs to me and it's my servant, it has to do and go where I want it to whenever. And the same thing is with Jesus. You know, he says in John 12:26, my servants are with me. And we really have no right then to say to him, no, Lord, not now. Got to wait. This is not a good time. We belong to him, and he has the right to use us whenever he chooses and however he chooses. And sometimes that's a little hard to handle. I can use it when I want, and Jesus can use me in any setting or circumstance he wants as well. And he's such a good master, and he knows. You know, that's one of the things about the scripture, it seems to indicate he'll never use us or abuse us. And everything he does toward us or whatever he asks us to do is always the best for us in the long run, whatever that might be. Somebody put up on the, was it Facebook this morning, about the trees they were trying to grow? Nita pointed this out, I think. Under the biosphere, they put a big lid over the top of this thing, and they're trying to grow trees. And the problem was the trees kept falling over. Now, that'd be a little distressing if you're trying to build a habitat underneath a big glass roof, and the trees keep falling over. And they finally figured out the trees need wind to make them strong. And they learn how to grab the ground, and that makes them stand there not only in the wind, but normally. And sometimes God will put us through those things that'll make us strong to stand in the wind. Well, here's something else, another implication of all this. Whatever is mine, I can change it or modify it as I want to. I own a house. If I want to change the carpet in that house, I can do so. If I want to put down a different flooring, I can do that. If I want to paint the door a different color. We moved into Virginia, and that house had a door that was ugly. It was bright. It didn't fit with the house at all, I didn't think. And so we went through the process, and we painted a different color. Well, before that house was mine, I couldn't have done that, but because the house was mine, I was able to do that. I could change anything if I wanted to. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. Because I belong to him, he has the right to modify me, change me, make me, just rewire me. And that's what he does through his Holy Spirit. Isn't that a special thing? He does that. I need to let the Lord Jesus change me as he wills. I need to cooperate with him. And this last one's a little bit different because there's no real parallel. But I can decide when it's unfit for use. And I can throw it away. If it's my possession, I can get rid of it. I can throw it away if I want to. Now, every now and then we do that, right? Seems like most of the time it just ends up in the garage or in a drawer or someplace. And we should throw it away, but we don't. But because it's mine, because it belongs to me, I can throw it away. Well, the good news is Jesus never throws away anybody who belongs to him. Isn't that a wonderful truth of the scripture? What a unique personal relationship I have with my owner. He'll never throw me away. He saves me and keeps me to the very end. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to belong to Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. And we can belong to him right now by putting our faith and trust in him. I like this. See, we sang this song last week, and I was planning on finishing this belonging up last week. We didn't get to it. But I just want you to think about the words. We'll sing it here in a moment again. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Isn't it a wonderful thing to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? And you can belong to him today by putting your faith and trust in him. Now, I can't leave this passage without finishing it up. You say, haven't we finished it up yet? No, there's one other thing I want you to see. So again, 1 Peter chapter 2, and if you got your Bible there, you'll notice he's listed out, and verse 9 is just like the capstone on a whole bunch of other things he's been talking about the whole way through this passage. And he says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. But don't miss that last part of verse 9. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And what's God telling us there? Oh, every day when we think about what God has done for us in the things that Peter's listed, the fact that we got a new birth into a living hope, that's earlier in the chapter, and that we've been born again, and all the other things that Peter's been talking about here, we ought to be just filled with praise. Man, I've been convicted a lot about that lately. It's easy for our mouths to complain. Oh, rain again? When am I ever going to get my yard mowed? This person's done it again. And it's just one thing after another we can find to complain about. But God is saying, you know, stop and think about what's really yours. You belong to Jesus. I've given you a job. I chose you. I'm changing you so that you're not culturally like all the others in your world. He says, you ought to wake up every morning praising me. And I've been convicted as I'm going through life, I need to start praising more. Say, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this. And we need to open our eyes. I think we've been blessed with far more than we know. And so here we are. God called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Praise him for that. Once we didn't belong anywhere. We were not a people. Now we're the people of God. Praise him for that. Once we lived in a time where we had not received mercy, but now we've received mercy. Praise him for that. It's kind of interesting how Peter's taken everything, the Holy Spirit's taken everything and brought it around and said, look at what God's done for you. And you got to go and review all the earlier parts, this chapter and a half in 1 Peter, to see what he's done for us. And he says, you know, then the natural outcome of our tongue and our lives ought to be, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Is there something messy in your life right now you ought to be thanking him for? Can you see how God has blessed you? Is there something there that ought to be thanked for? Is there something that's not so nice in your life? You know, God's put it there for a purpose. We ought to be thanking God for that too. And God loves us so much. He's given us so much. Praise ought to be the order of the day. Well, I think that's something I know I need to work on. Isn't it amazing how the old nature is so, it's like frowning versus smiling. It's so much easier to frown, it seems like. Although I understand we use a lot more muscles to frown. So we need to use all those muscles, just a few to smile. And we need to praise God as we live our lives. Amazing what God has done for us. Amazing. And the starting point is he wants to save us. He wants us to belong to him. He wants to forgive our sin. Because you know, and maybe we put way too much emphasis on all that, but the fact of the matter is, if you're here without Jesus, you're in big trouble with God. God is angry with you for your sin. His wrath is going to be expressed one of these days if the sin isn't forgiven. So you need to come to Jesus to be forgiven and to walk with him. Let him change your life. If you'd like to talk about that this morning after the service, come on, we'll talk and show you how to be saved and born again and made right with God. It's a wonderful thing to be in that position. Well, let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, I thank you this morning that you are a great God. You have just filled our cups to overflowing with good things. And Peter says, you've made us be born again, and you've given us hope, and we have an inheritance. And Jesus has become our rock and our foundation, and we are being built into a house that's beautiful and wonderful, and because you have made us into living stones. And now we're a chosen people. We're a holy nation. We're a people belonging to God. And just so much here that we're just so blessed. So we thank you for all of that. And thank you for working in our lives and Thank you for being patient with us when we get so ugly and difficult and we struggle against you. You still love us. You still care for us. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you. Just keep on making us. Father, we're glad we belong to you. And here we are to use at your beck and call. However you want to, whenever you want to. Thank you for that privilege. Now, Father, if there's somebody here today who does not know Jesus as personal Savior, I pray that today they'll step out and say, I need to know him. I want forgiveness of my sin. I want to belong to him. And Father, for us Christians, help us as we walk along the way to live your way. And thank you for helping us do that. Bless us as we think about these things. We come in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.